Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study. The Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter. I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study. Matthew chapter 6. And if you would, drop down to verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I remember back in 1994, I was what you might identify as a summer intern at the Jackson Heights Church in Columbia. And while I was working there, I was living with a couple, and every day they had the O.J. Simpson trial on. And when I'd come home for lunch, I would watch part of the O.J. trial, and I'd recognize they'd call an expert witness. And I've often thought about all the expert witnesses they called. One would be an expert in forensics. One might be an expert in something else. And I thought to myself, well, one day I'm going to be an expert in something. And tonight, what I'm going to talk about, I can say I'm an expert in. I believe that all of us in life probably deal with anxiety and depression. And I must confess that as an individual, I've dealt with it on many occasions. Sometimes I've had to take medication and such to try to deal with such a problem. And I'm not ashamed to say that because all of us have different problems in our humanity and in our physical nature. But tonight, when you look in the book of Matthew and the 6th chapter, you'll find that the Sermon on the Mount covers every phase for a citizen in the kingdom of God. Jesus spells out in a clear message the attitude of heart one must have to enter the kingdom of God. However, he also speaks of the attitude of heart that his people must possess after they become a child of God. And in so doing, it's clear to see that the ones who belong to God are different than others. In these few verses, he's urging his citizens not to be anxious concerning particular things. And Jesus spells out in a clear manner the things in which one ought not to be anxious about. However, we need a clear definition between anxiety and worrying and being concerned. Because there are some things we need to be concerned about. And I'll tell you one thing that I think I need to recognize and realize is the difference between concern and worry. And many times I have a hard time finding the line between concern and worry. And yet there are some things I need to be concerned about. If you have your Bible, you'll find there are some things that are positive to be concerned about. Jesus, in the way that he lived and what he taught, he lived a life that he didn't have a place to stay. He lived a life of not worrying. But there were things that Jesus was concerned about. And you'll find that's true of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see that Jesus is not saying in Matthew 6, you just don't care about anything. That's not what he's saying. He said there's a fine line between concern and not caring. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, notice, if you will, when Paul was talking about the couple that is married. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 32, he says, but he who is married cares. Underscore the word cares there. He who is married cares about the things of the world, how he might please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now notice how Paul uses the word care or concern in this statement. Both the married and the unmarried are to work for the Lord, but he said the married person has an extra concern or care. They're concerned about their spouse. They're concerned about their loved one. And he said that that can sometimes distract you from the care you should have for the Lord. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice, if you will, Paul talks about something in verse 25. He says there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Underscore care there. And what Paul here is saying is There should be an end to division in the ranks of the people of the body of Christ. There should be concern or care for one another. We should be concerned about unity. Paul said the body ought not to be divided and torn asunder, that the body ought to be cared for, the body ought to be that which loves one another and is concerned for one another. Now tonight down in Texas, I've got friends that I've been texting and I've been emailing and Facebook because they're in the path of the hurricane. And I'll tell you that I've been asking them and questioning, what do you need? How are you doing? And a lot of them say the water's up to their house. Some have water in their house. And I'll tell you, I'm concerned about it. Now there's little I can do right now. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can pray for them. And you know, sometimes we act like that's the least we can do. I'll tell you, that's the most we can do. It's go to God in prayer. That's the first thing we should do when faced with any problem. But then I'll tell you a third thing. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice if you will, what Paul said in about verse 28. When Paul talked about all of his sufferings for Christ, he said, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, Paul, was you concerned about the churches? He said, I have a deep concern for all the churches. Now, this is the same man who said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, Paul understood the difference between anxiety and concern. He's able to distinguish between the two. But Paul said, I have a deep concern for the churches. He has a concern for their souls. He has a concern that they may drift. He has a concern that they won't stand sound in the faith. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to Philippians and the second chapter. And when you come to Philippians chapter 2, look, if you will, at verse 19. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19, notice he said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Paul was looking for someone at this time that had a care for the people, had the same kind of concern that he had for him. And he said, I'll tell you, that man is Timothy. And so he said, I found no one else but Timothy who had the same kind of concern and was like-minded. He wanted someone who would go to the church at Philippi who cared. So I recognize tonight, there are some things I need to be concerned about. I need to be concerned about my home. I need to be concerned about the local church. I need to be concerned about the souls of others. I need to be concerned about unity. But now then, let's take that a step. There are some things that makes one anxious. They're not negative concerns as much as they become problems where we worry. And if you go back to the sermon that Jesus was preaching in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, I tell you, and notice he'll say this three times. Notice, if you will, in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. And look about the first statement, and I've missed this so many times. About your life. Underscore, about your life. That's an important statement. Jesus puts his finger on the problem in one word. He says, don't worry about your life. In other words, don't be self-centered. You know, some people are worried about financial matters all the time. But look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves. Some people have so much, they worry about what to do with it. They've got barn after barn after barn, and they're worried about it. Others, they worry because they don't have it. And there are a lot of people that live their lives worried about money. Now, I understand there's concerns about money. But there's a great difference between being concerned about finances and being worried all the time and being anxious and filled with that anxiety. But secondly, notice Jesus said something else to them. Notice that Jesus said in verse 25, He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. In other words, Jesus said, you will have food. Now, some have plenty and others have little. But notice his statement right after that. He says, do not worry what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll put on. He says, don't worry about clothes. Now, that's a concern to most people. But then look at what he says. He says, and do not worry what? Is the life more than food and the body more than clothing? And Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus puts his finger on the problem. Jesus says, if God cares for the birds, will he not also care for you? Then look at what he says. Which one of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, when I was a little fella, I wanted to be a big guy to play football. I wanted to be a fella that could just get out there and just be a fella that was tough and just run around, roughshod off of it. And, you know, I'd stay up at night thinking, if I could just get a little bit, I didn't mean fatter, I meant bigger. And you know what, my friend? Staying up at night and worrying about it, I didn't add one inch to my height. I didn't add anything to my body. And you know, worrying about something is not going to cause it to happen. I realize that. You realize that. Now, how often do we worry about things we have no control over? That's one of my greatest problems in life. I worry about that which I cannot control. But Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, about worried about your stature, you can think about the future. What good would it be to worry about the future? About the length of your life? Sometimes we sit back and we get worried about, well, how long am I going to live? And will there be enough Social Security for me? And just exactly how long do I have left? I know individuals that come to me and they say, preacher, I just worry. What if I wake up one morning and I'm sick? Well, my friend, that's a possibility for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're young or aged. It's a possibility that we wake up one morning and we don't see the setting of the sun. But it's not going to change anything worrying about it every day. I want to take that. I want to make application on what we can do to help us overcome anxiety in the lesson journey. The first thing I want to draw to our hearts is if we are focused on ourselves, and we're only worried about ourselves, then we'll not be prepared for the work and duty God has given us. When you worry about things you have no control over, you become depressed and unfit for the work of the Lord. You know how I know that? I've done it. I've done it since I've been here. I've had times where I was so low, I said, Mary, let's just pack up and go. And I'm sure all of us have felt that way. That we get so low and depressed, and the reason we've got ourselves in that condition is if it's not a chemical problem, it's because we've worried and we started feeling sorry for ourselves. And I'll tell you what happens. You won't be prepared for tragedy when it comes, and it will come, if all you do is worry about yourself. If you go back, that's what Jesus said. Do not worry about your life. Don't be so self-centered. Don't think this world revolves and evolves around you. This world is that which God has created. And so many people are so caught up in their emotion and their feeling that when a real tragedy occurs, they're not prepared for it. Because they've worried about everything else. And in Job 14:1, Job said, man who is born of woman, his days are few and full of trouble. Secondly, when you're always filled with anxiety and worry and depression, you overlook your present blessings. We let worry over the future and what may happen. I didn't say will happen, may happen, and some things will happen. You know, one day, unless the Lord returns, you're going to die. You ever notice, I got on the Byford for this, and I hope it's helpful. But you ever notice when they're selling you life insurance, what do they say to you? If something happens to you, what about your spouse? Don't say if. They said, well, you need to think realistically about this, Mike. What if something... No, if I want to be realistic, it's not if, it's when something happens. There will come a day I'll die. And I might as well just mark that down. There'll come a day that my life will come to an end. But if all I do is worry and look at that, I'll tell you what happens. We have a tendency to overlook what we have now. We don't thank God for our children. We don't thank God for our houses. We don't thank God for our spouses. We don't thank God for the blessings we enjoy. We don't thank God for the members of the local church. We look around and say, well, you know, some places have 200 tonight, and we're not thankful for the ones that are here tonight. And I'll tell you something. If all we can do is complain about what we don't have, then I'll tell you something. God, help us to stop and look at ourselves. Because we're worried about our life, what we want. But I'll tell you what it does. It also robs us of our joy. The Sermon on the Mount is given to us to show the happiness of being a child of God and that we're to be filled with joy. And we don't even have time to be joyful over God, forgiveness of our sins due to worry. I remember when I was a young man one time, I went and I was concerned about something. And I remember what this man told me. He said, well, Mike, if the Lord comes tonight, you won't have to worry one bit about it. I thought, yeah, that's right. But the Lord didn't come that night. But it did put something in perspective for me. Did I break the microphone? That's the fact that there are some things that are so important that we take for granted. We take God's blessings for granted. We take God's love for granted. And it robs us of our joy. Some people don't have any spiritual mind to them. All they're thinking about is carnal things. And when you think just about carnal things, I'll tell you what, my friend, you'll never find joy in worshiping God. You know why some people are always bored here? You know why some people, when I talk, they're always talking to one another, never paying attention to the lesson, never singing, always playing during prayer. You know why? They don't have any spiritual joy. That brings up another thought. It overlooks the need of others. We get so bogged down over worrying that we fail to see the need of others. We're not concerned about the loss. As long as I'm saved, why am I worried about this? That goes back to being self-centered. We live in an age of self-centeredness and self-absorbed and entitlement. But I'll tell you what else it does. When I am always living in anxiety and worry, we fail to believe in the providence of God. God will work all things out. I know there's controversy over what Paul meant in Romans 8:28, but I still can't help to believe what he said. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who look forward to His coming. I believe that. I don't know how they will, and they may not ever work out on this side of eternity, but for the child of God, eventually they will work out. So what's the answer to worry? What's the answer to anxiety? Well, if you have a condition that you need some medication, that's one thing. But I'll tell you the second thing, and the most important thing, is what Jesus says in verse 33. But seek first, underscore that word, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know what that sums up to say? in verse 34 when he says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Live one day at a time. Today is your best day. You know why? It's the only day you know you have. You may have plans for tomorrow. You may think tomorrow's going to have this, and I've got this scheduled, and I've got this down, and I'll be here at this particular time. My friend, we may never see another sunrise. I don't care if you're young, middle-aged, aged, not a one of us is guaranteed. And I'll tell you what. If we could just learn to enjoy the moments God has given us and live one day at a time, then the problems of tomorrow will care for themselves. Some of us live so far in the past, we can't face the future. Some of us live so far in the future, we can't face the present. And yet the present's the only thing God has given us to live. You ever notice that word present? I know the word has double meaning. Present meaning this current time. But we also give somebody a present, a gift. And that's what the present is. It's a gift from God. And sometimes we just tell God, we don't want your gift. We want to be worried and concerned because we don't think you'll take care of us. I can't imagine my children coming in and crying, "Daddy, are you not going to feed us?" They know that they're going to be fed. Now, they may not have their Cool Ranch Doritos like they like, and they may be upset about that, but they know they'll be fed. How much more does our Heavenly Father look down at us and say, "Have I not cared for you?" And we just shrug our shoulders. And I'm just as guilty as the next fellow. I need to quit worrying about my life. I put first. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, I'm concerned about your soul. I'm concerned that you're lost. I'm concerned that if you died in the state you're in, you would be in eternal fire. My prayer is that you would change and that you would make your life right so that you won't spend eternity separated from God, but you'll have something to look forward to that when you do die, and you will die, you can be with God forever. Then I don't have to live my life worrying about, will I die today? But death will just be a doorway to a better place. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you.